Testing 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
I declare the meeting open. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. Everyone is advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. This is an opportunity now for elected members to declare any potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Hutchinson, in relation to?
Confidential item.
Very well. I think it's more or less the last item of the evening, so that's noted. Any others? If not, we can proceed. Looking for a motion that the minutes be confirmed from the last meeting. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I'm after a motion that the various communications reports be noted. Moved by Councillor Pryor. Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried. Was there a question or just Councillor Holt?
Mr. Mayor, your trip to New Zealand, private trip, I must stress, and you know, full marks, and I've done it myself before. You might recall me raising the issue of having a biannual emergency service focus on the city, a disaster awareness. I was just wondering whether you happened to actually touch on that very issue when you visited Christchurch.
I met with two councillors of the City of Christchurch and the manager for infrastructure. So the issue did come up, but it was quite difficult to draw a comparison. I was there on the anniversary of the fifth anniversary of the big quake, which still has its visible effects in the environs of Christchurch. So the discussion inevitably went along the lines of the impact on Christchurch, and it was a bit difficult to relate that to any planning we might do for emergency services operations. But as you know, staff have taken up the idea of planning some sort of preparation, I think, for disaster scenarios. Probably earthquake would be not the most probable of likely disasters that might befall this particular part of the world. But a couple of snapshots in terms of the effect on Christchurch. They lost about, in terms of a council, they lost about 6,000 rateable homes, and most of those people relocated to outside of the city. They're encouraging them to move in inner city and create greater density in the inner city area. But once people have shifted to outer suburbs and indeed beyond the city limits, it's pretty hard to get people back. So that was a huge hit to the rates, while at the same time requiring a massive investment in infrastructure. In terms of, to give you another snapshot, borrowings, you know that we're up to, what, about 25% of operating revenue, Mr. Mifsud, something like that? A bit lower than that. They're at 220% of operating revenue, and they've simply had to borrow to spend to get basic council services back up and running. Some of it underground, and of course a lot of buildings above ground as well. So it was a useful and interesting discussion in terms of what happens post-disaster. In terms of planning for disaster, I can tell you they've done a lot of work in the last 5 years over in preparation for another possible earthquake, and that's why when I was there, just outside the city of Christchurch, as it turned out, when there was a 5.7 quake, there was relatively little additional destruction because all of the poorly constructed buildings or weak buildings had gone 5 years ago, and a lot of reinforcement work had been done since then. So look, they're problems this city's not likely to face, but it will be interesting when staff set their minds in a more focused way to preparing for disaster, whether that might be flooding, fire, or whatever, I suppose fire or perhaps even terrorism would be on the list. But given the what I've heard is the fault line around the South Road, Flinders Hill area, earthquake can't be ruled out either. So discussions obviously were at a general level, but when we deal with those scenarios, I might be able to add something to the discussion. Thanks for the question. One more question, page 72. Sorry, Mr. Skoll, can you respond?
Yeah, through your worship, it's correct. I wasn't there, so that's actually a mistake. We had staff there, but I didn't go.
Well, can we simply take that as a public acknowledgement of the staff work in making the forum a success, but when we move, what did we get up to? We did move it. We moved and accepted it. So before, with the leave of the mover and seconder, we could amend the report to delete the reference to Mr. Skoll in terms of the ageing population forum on page 17. And I don't know, do you want to add names or just put senior staff? We don't want to put anything inaccurate on the spur of the moment, so we might just have to say senior staff or something like that. So if that's all right with the mover and seconder and with the leave of the meeting, that amendment is made, well picked up, Councillor Hull, and I'll put the motion. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we move to, there being no deputations as such or petitions, we move to committee recommendations on page 18, and once again note that this is mostly a formality. Any recommendations with a tangible effect will come back separately. So in relation to the Urban Planning Committee, I have Councillor Pryor to move that the recommendations as printed. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? Any discussion? I'll put that motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. And then we go over to page 25, confirmation of the minutes of the Strategy Committee meeting held on 2nd of February. Do I have someone to move as printed? Moved Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Westwood. Any discussion? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we come to page 34 on the agenda, Discovery Circle Program. We've given permission for Dr. Rutman to present to us, and he'll come forward. Dr. Rutman, you have 5 minutes, so and that would include time for questions. So if you can move through it fairly briskly, that'd be great, and there may be one or two pressing questions following that. So you're very welcome. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Hi, everyone. The Discovery Circle initiative was set up to do two primary things, to run citizen science projects, which means getting the community involved in scientific projects and learning about local natural environments, and connecting the community with nature, which was an important thing for the City of Marion. We have a number of funding partners, so that the funding partners get good value for money on the investment. So City of Marion investment goes in with investment from the City of Salisbury, the NRM Board and the Department for Environment, and others into projects to build larger projects that the residents and the City of Marion can benefit from. It's a 5-year program, and we're 3 years in, so I thought I'd quickly go over some highlights from the last 3 years. Running the Cat Tracker project, where we've been using small GPS units, Exhibit A, small GPS units, putting on cats to find out where they go. There's been some barriers identified to the management of cats, and one of those is the cat owners don't realise how far their cats go. So by showing them, they can make informed decisions about their cat management. We're also collecting all sorts of information about cat management that can be useful for the development of policy for the City of Marion and the Dog and Cat Management Board. We've also done an analysis of the personalities of 3,000 cats, and we've developed cat personality reports that we're giving to cat owners. And one interesting thing we found as part of this is that there's very little difference between indoor cats and outdoor cats, which is important because another barrier identified to good cat management is that people think that keeping cats indoors is not good for the cats. So by demonstrating that there's good cat management involved in keeping cats indoors, we can have some impact. So a couple of good impacts for the projects in terms of cat management. We've run bio-blitzes. We've had 450 people attend 2 bio-blitzes in the City of Marion in the last 2 years. One, the first at Oaklands Wetlands, which was one of the first in South Australia, and the second one at Hallett Cove. And these are about getting scientists and naturalists and the community together in local places for a couple of days. We've had hundreds of school children involved and then members of the wider community coming along and going on surveys and learning about their local plants and animals. Fluker Posts is a project we've been working on for some time and has just landed in Marion in the last few weeks. So we've put posts in the ground where people can take a photograph and send them in to us from the post. We put that online so we can compare how the location is changing over time by looking at the album of photos and how they change. It started in Victoria, and Martin Fluker, who started the system, has now got 100 over there. We've now got about 10 in South Australia and building, and 2 in the City of Marion, 2 at Oaklands Wetlands, and soon to come at Warraparinga and Hallett Cove. And also over the last few years, we've developed a lot of infrastructure to run lots more projects. So we've got a website that's very popular, gets hundreds of hits every day. We've got social media, we've got blogs, and these are all going to be useful in running the projects that we're running over the next few years. What's coming? We're planning workshops. So we've got one coming up on Aboriginal astronomy. We're also looking at nature photography and another workshop on native bees because it was popular, very popular last year when we ran one. Another bio-blitz each year. So the bio-blitzes have been very popular with members of the community. And a lot of other councils also want me to run them in their areas. We are limited in how many bio-blitzes we can run, so City of Marion gets one as a partner on the project. City of West Torrens also want us to run one this year, but as they're not a partner on the project, they're putting in $14,000 just for the BioBlitz in their area this year, a one-day BioBlitz. The cat tracker project has been immensely successful, and we are winding down the tracking of cats, but I've been talking with the Dog and Cat Management Board about the potential for future projects, and they're looking to fund a new project where we'll be analysing the hair of cats and looking at their diet, so we'll be able to tell the difference between cat food and native animal food. And so that'll be a continuation of the cat tracker project that I'm hoping to get up and running next year. We'll be analysing cat hair, so the people who've tracked their cats will take a small sample of hair, send it into us. And it's continuing this citizen science approach to cat management. More Fluker posts in the ground over the next few years. So if the City of Marion comes on board for the next 2 years, we'll do more Fluker posts here. I'm also looking to build on those sites. So while we've got photographs happening at those sites, we'll also have things like bat monitoring going on at those sites and geocaches at the sites. The Oaklands Wetlands Fluker posts actually have our first two geocaches in South Australia, which are another engaging way to get people out and about in nature and learning about the local environment in Marion. And the big project that we are working on to launch just after the mid-year break is a gardening project where we'll be measuring people's water in their gardens and looking at the productivity of their gardens to look at the social value and the inputs and outputs in gardens so people can make good decisions about what to do in their gardens, both community and private gardens.
Members were wanting to ask the doctor a question. I'm happy to wait for that.
Go, Councillor Gard. What's your intention? Extremely brief. No factual statements. Just questions, please, Councillor Gard.
I'm being well coached. I'm very interested to know if. We can do more as a council, perhaps to draw our neighbours in, such as Onkaparinga and Holfast Bay and Mitcham, who certainly each of them in their varieties of ways involved in nature and natural surroundings.
Well, I'll take that as the first question, Dr.
Yep.
Redman.
Yeah. And secondly, just on cats and birds, it's a very contentious issue. A lot of bird lovers are extremely worried about the bird population apropos of the cat population. And do you have any findings, or do you expect to have any findings in that area?
Project is quite innovative.
Is the therapy for the owner or the cat? Well, no, I'll leave that as rhetorical. Councillor Holt?
I just wonder whether we'll be able to categorically work out what category our cats will be in.
I'll take that as a rhetorical question too. Councillor Hutchinson?
I just wanted to clarify, how many other councillors are involved in the project as partners?
Okay, Councillor Appleby.
Have you sought a partnership with the LGA?
In particular project?
Back to you, Councillor Valesco.
Bit of move as is. I'm happy that we do resume the program. I got to go to the BioBlitz and see some of the work they do firsthand. I think engaging people is important, and especially with a cat tracker project, you're bringing people on side and getting them to have an impact and want to have an impact. I think a lot of the complaints I get about cats, people expect us to have a punitive approach, and I think that sort of leading people to change as opposed to forcing them will get better results, and having that evidence, I think it's very valuable. Obviously, it's not, you know, it's not money to be sneezed at, but what we get for it, we get good value. And I am heartened to hear that Dr. Phil, is wanting to maximise the value for people involved by using that partnership. So I'm happy to proceed and look forward to the results from all the other work that this initiative will be bringing.
Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
I'll second that. I also went on the BioBlitz. Really interesting, really enthusiastic staff. So, just to congratulate you on that, and yeah, hope the program continues.
Okay, so would you like to add something, Councillor Telfer? Thank you. Well, Councillor Hall, are you speaking against the motion?
Well, I want to temper the motion. Councillor Valesco has raised the point of, and so has the presenter, about getting people involved and coaxing them. I think that in sections of our community we have an enforcement branch of the council, and unfortunately dealing with cats may require enforcement. And members would know from the previous council dealing with, particularly with that professor who's head of the NRM. He knew my concerns about cats, particularly in sensitive areas around our so-called recreation reserves and conservation parks, which is a misnomer in my opinion, if you're going to allow cats and dogs to go through there. But I just wonder whether some of the data we're getting may actually help us with a targeted enforcement program down the track as well. So that's my only tempering comment about the motion. Otherwise, BioBlitz and all that's fine. I've been to them myself, and, you know, it's good stuff.
All right. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by a majority. Thank you. Thanks for coming along, Dr. Roatman. You can resume your place or depart as you please. You're a free man. We turn to page 45 of the agenda. Energy efficient council buildings project. Councillor Pryor.
Yep, I believe we've got an alternate motion.
We probably soon will. Councillor Pryor, are you checking that? You happy with that? Question from Councillor Valesco? Yeah, it's a good question. So, Councillor Pryor, would you be happy? You haven't moved it yet, so we're in a flexible space. But in paragraph 2, if you took out the... Well, paragraph 2 and 4, if you took out the number 12...
Correct. 13.
I believe it's 13. Or take it out. Yeah, I'm happy either way.
You could take it out.
They both get the job done.
Will that then give a sufficient specificity to staff? Ms. Dixon's saying yes to that, so we know what you're talking about. Might be just safer to take that out. Good point, Councillor Valescu. Councillor Pryor, you happy with that, to move that?
Yes, I am.
Right, and I'll just, before you go on, just ask if it's seconded. Councillor Hull, Councillor Pryor, away you go.
Yeah, I don't think there's really too much to say about this. LED technology, especially in the last couple of years, has come a very long way. It's now a very, very mainstream for businesses, and Councillor Hull tells a story about his businesses, and he might regale us with that again later, about the fact that businesses are everywhere are doing this sort of thing to reduce their energy budget. So I think it's a very good idea for us to go forwards with this.
Thank you. Councillor Hull?
Happy to support this. I believe the 5.2 years actually expands the number of buildings and includes this building, I believe. Am I right in saying that? Yep. So, look, this is the low-hanging fruit. And in fact, for me personally, Mr. Mayor, this is catch-up. Compared to other councils, we are so far behind, particularly the ones in Melbourne. This is absolute catch-up, and it doesn't actually do as much for me as the motion on the books tonight, where we actually start looking at some capacity building infrastructure to reduce our grid dependence. So, you know, this is catch up. It's a long time coming. I was here the last time an energy audit was done. It was fairly superficial, and technology has changed so much since then, where LED wasn't even thought of back in the day. That's only one example. This actually focuses on some other key issues, such as energy expended on air conditioning and heating, particularly pools. Outdoor pools should be a target. When you guys sent me off to that conference, I came back knowing that the swimming pool had to be a target. And we have to get our mind around the fact that it's not just electricity, it's actually gas. And another shortcoming, Mr. Mayor, in terms of energy efficiency, this hasn't even touched on issues other councils have touched on, like our fleet. All those big diesel trucks, all our fleet in the Undercroft car park here, is energy. It's more than just electricity. And I think this is only the beginning. But I'm happy to actually support this. If private enterprise is actually going out and changing over all their lights and putting all these things in place, it has to signal something. Even Westfield are talking about it. So what sort of signal does that send to us, that there must be something in it? And we're talking about there's a quid in it. Because, you know, and this is low-hanging fruit, the 5.2 period, let's face it, we're talking about halfway through the next council term when we actually start to actually make real dividends, because we're not paying it off. It's actually a sheer gain. So, but by then, there'll be new technology, and we need to continually rework this. It's a work in progress all the time. So, look, you know, I'm happy to support it, and with 10 seconds to spare.
Yes, I can just add to that that, as was discussed, I think, at our planning day, that the evidence is now overwhelming that the two areas of what you call low-hanging fruit are building energy efficiency and streetlights. They're the two big ones where councils can make huge differences. Councillor Gard?
Yes, I support everything that Councillor Hull says, and Councillor Pryor. I think this is a very worthy exercise for us and ASAP. Just one thing in reading the paper that occurred to me is that we're using the payback period as the main criterion for which areas we're going to be concentrating on. What of the other areas with longer payback periods? Because My thought was, and taking into account some of the points that Councillor Harlow has just made, my thought was that we should really have an all-encompassing program of thinking for the entirety of our energy saving exercise, and that may be over a 10-year expanse, who knows?
Councillor Gard, just to draw your attention to paragraph 5, whereby by November this year we are to receive a further report on similar measures in relation to all council-owned facilities. So the current study has looked at 4, that will cover about 100 or so.
Yes, I take that point. I'm very encouraged by that. One exclusion, though, that I noticed was, for instance, our air conditioning in this big building, and that takes up the gap between the $1 million expenditure versus, I think it was $107,000 for the rest. And I'm talking about the bigger, heavy-duty projects. I'm not sure whether number 5, the point there, does encompass that, or whether it just speaks of buildings in their own right.
No, you're quite right. I mean, as I understand the motion, the intent is that we get some things done, and no doubt we can come and revisit that. In fact, you are welcome, Councillor Gard, to come back in a year or two and choose the next tranche of improvements, right. And indeed the technology might have changed by then, but you make a good point.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll honour Council with that and make a promise of that if no one else does.
Very good. Any other speakers, especially if you're speaking against the motion? Councillor Appleby?
I'm speaking against the motion, Your Worship. I think this is putting the cart before the horse. I support the recommendation as it is in the paper, but point 4, I don't understand the point of getting a report if we're already committing. I think that point 2 should be left out.
And just to answer that as a matter of clarification, point 4, as I read it, is intended to be the next level of detail. If we commit money to a certain tranche of projects, then point 4 is necessary for us to have a report that says how it's going to be done, when it's going to be done, over the next year or so. So rather than come back with a report and then decide whether we want to do something, Councillor Pryor is moving a motion to say we are going to do something, let's get it going, let's get it in the budget, and come back with a fine print later on. But you're free to carry on.
My point is we should see the detail before we put money aside to make sure that it stacks up.
Slav Leskin?
Well, it's something to clarify, because I was under the impression we've worked out how much it's going to cost and we're going to do it. There's obviously some resources in that administration that I thought we're going to then have a report on the next level. It's just unclear whether this is a report on how we're going to do what we're doing. I spoke a little bit about this and got some information about it. So can we have some clarity on that, please? Because I was under the impression that we'll be just approving stuff and it's just going to happen. Obviously, there's some resource implications for that to happen, but it's going to happen. And then the next report was going to be looking at that less lower hanging fruit. So can we clarify that, Your Worship?
Management. Paragraph 4 is talking about a report to implement the items that are covered by paragraph 2. So after having said we're going to do it, staff would then be going away to say, well, here's the costing, here's the timing, within the constraints given by council. Paragraph 5 talks about a report about different buildings altogether. So it's of quite a different order. But I'll ask Ms. Dixon or Ms. Gibson to comment.
Through the chair, yes. So as the mayor has pointed out, the next report for item 4 is about the more detailed costings for the items that are being approved tonight in recommendation 2. So yes, that's correct.
Councillor Lescu, happy for now?
I guess I think that this is got some identified payback times, I think it's worth doing. It also sets an example that I guess we can wait and it's actually being wasteful. So after those payback times, the residents are actually going to be in front, and being such a short time for most of them, I think they average around about the three years, it's actually going to be good value, even if you look at interest lost for the money being used now. So I'm happy to proceed.
Councillor Crossland.
No, sorry, that's fine, thank you.
Okay. Then I'll... is there anything else that needs clarifying? Then Councillor Pryor to conclude.
Yeah, as stated before, the paybacks on these are relatively short. It really... I don't think it needs that much detail behind it, to be honest. I know through my house I looked at the cost of an LED light and I looked at the cost of running my existing lights and I swapped them over. I didn't actually go into a four-year plan or anything. I just understood that it was a way to go forwards. And there's enough in the fact that businesses are doing this all over the place to suggest that the money's fairly safe and we're going to invest that money anyway. There might be some details about whether we get 6-watt LEDs or 7-watt LEDs, and that's what will come back in the report.
Thank you. Just arising out of that, especially the reference to the budget, I do have a question. It's in relation to this building, where I know that very substantial sums have been allocated for improvements to the building. So could I ask Mr. Mifsud, if we allocate money for these things, does that mean that less of that other money will need to be put aside, or are they all for other things?
Through the chair to yourself, Mayor Hannah. There is definitely some money set aside in the current long-term financial plan for key essential works for this particular building, which covers things like the air conditioning that's been mentioned by a couple of members, security, lighting, etc., etc. So that is set aside in the long-term plan, but I must stress that those funds can't be spent until we receive a council resolution endorsing that they be spent for that purpose.
All right, so just to clarify, I actually thought we had money in either this year's budget or next year's budget. Is that not the case?
Through the chair again, there is some funds in the current budget, in the land and property budget, that does cover the ongoing maintenance of this building. Yes, that's true. And in addition, in the long-term plan, there's just under $3 million set aside for the key essential elements of this particular building, but that's subject to subsequent council resolution.
Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. Now we turn to page 53 of the agenda, dealing with community energy solar options. Councillor Pryor to move.
Yes, I believe we've got another alternate motion that's going to be on the board shortly. There's three parts to this motion. I'd like to move the first two together and then the third one separately, if that's okay with everyone.
Yes. Just have those two up there, I think. So that's what you want to move, Councillor Pryor? We can come back with another motion after this one. That's not a problem.
Can we put the third one up there? Because it does...
Oh, I see. If you'd like that up there for reference.
So
of course.
Just for reference.
We can do that. Is that motion, looking just at paragraphs 1 and 2 there, is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Coming back to you, Councillor Pryor, to speak to the motion.
Yes, I mean, first I'd like to explain why I've taken the third part and put that separately. And the third part refers to monies where I'm hoping to allocate to this in next year's budget. But if I bundle the whole lot together and it doesn't get up, then Council lacks direction on where to go with this, and I want to make sure that we have direction regardless of whether the money goes into the financial plan or not. So the first thing I'd like to do is acknowledge Mr. Nance, who's here tonight, and thank him for his work. It was a good read. I really think that this motion is a motion of intent, and that's why I will be moving the second part of this motion shortly as well, and that our council is very long overdue for some solar infrastructure. And even in this term, we're still overdue for some of this stuff to be progressed. We've been talking about it for a long time, and to get money in the budget for next year, I think, is essential so that we can move forward. Just a couple of stats that people have thrown at me. It's somewhere near 30% of the houses in Adelaide have solar on them. That's an outstanding performance. We don't have much infrastructure in the city of Marion, and I think it's time we started playing catch-up. The 30% means that there's an overwhelming suggestion from the community that solar has some sort of payoff. People like it. People like it because of the money involved. They like it because of the fact that it gives them a sense of being somewhat green. And so I think that our council should follow suit, and that it is important for the community to see us taking steps towards being a greener council and reducing our consumption and generating our own power. And when the whole motion gets up, it will be good to see a group of people who are looking outside their council term, because the payoff for this is longer than our term. And so we're actually putting an investment into the future.
Thank you. And look, before I call on Councillor Crossland, in a practice that I've been encouraging is for options where they're referred to in shorthand in the motion to be set out in full in the minutes, so that people reading the minutes know what we're on about, not just option A or Z. So could the reference to option A on page 54 be included in the minutes? I don't know that we need a leave or a motion for that. I think it should just happen automatically, really. But, I mean, it could come after the... I have to say it would be neater if it appeared like a definition after the motions themselves. But that's what I'd invite staff to do. Councillor Crossland.
Just briefly, this is moving forward, it's green, and ultimately financially it would make sense. It will lower our ongoing costs. I don't know what the payback's going to be, but I suggest it's likely to be 15, 16 years, and after that we're going to be actually in some form of profit or some advantage to residents. And I'd ask people to support the motion for that reason.
The payback period, can we actually nail that down? Is it 15 years or 10? I thought that was excessive. That's the only reason I'm asking.
Hey, I'm asking Councillor Crossland, in terms of the installation of solar panels on council buildings generally?
I was being talking generally from experience. I fitted solar to a high-rise building, and within 15 years it would have paid for itself.
I mean, I suppose it will depend a bit on bulk, etc., but can Ms. Givens give any information on that? Right, Mr. Nance, to come from the gallery and see what light he can shed on the matter. Mr. Nance, can I put that another way, that if we spend the $600,000 according to option A and all the assumptions are correct, then at the end of 15 years we are $500,000 better off than we would have been had we not acted?
Yeah, that's correct. So the original investment is returned in that period and you're $500,000 in front.
I think that answers the question. Thank you. Good question. Now, another question, Councillor Holt?
Downsford dump, Peddlers Creek. We need, as a group of councils, need to explore the potential for Peddlers Creek with the cogeneration down there that's happening already. To actually be part of the solution. But even the City of Melbourne realises that the generation of power does not have to happen within the boundaries of their CBD. It can actually happen with land and infrastructure in adjoining councils. Now, we've already got a long-standing relationship with the Southern Waste Board, and I think that given that a lot of the land can't be built on down there, it lends itself to possibly doing this sort of venture, and I think that the skill set within the group down there may actually have us a step ahead of the game if we actually tap into that. I'd like to see it explored, Mr. Mayor. You know, it doesn't have to happen tonight, but I'd like to see it on our agenda to explore going forward.
Mr. Mifsud would like to add something to that.
Through the Chair, you may recall at the last council meeting that Councillor Crossland in particular mentioned that that particular option is already being actively explored by the Swara Board, so we're absolutely on the same page as you, Councillor Hull.
Now to Councillor Appleby.
Thank you, Your Worship. The reason solar panels have had such a great take-up is actually not because it makes economic sense, but because of all the government subsidies. I think that's the first important point to make. And the second point I wanted to make is that I don't think we should be installing costly solar infrastructure on certain buildings that could be excessive to our needs in the future and that we may never get a payback on because we lease out to private companies. So I think we need to keep that in mind when you're factoring it all up.
Other speakers? Councillor Valescu.
Thanks. First of all, I just want to know if it is in prohibitive for us to have this report, especially for the new buildings, in May 2016, just because companies that provide quotes and things like that want to know a year's worth of electricity. So I just want to clarify.
Could I ask Mr. Nance to answer that?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, it would make it a lot easier if we had a full year's worth of data, but The estimates that I've made have been based on the roughly 6 months of data that I had to work with, and it was pretty indicative. So I'm pretty comfortable with the sizings that we've come up with at this stage. But to do a more detailed assessment, a year's worth of data would be preferable. But as long as we've got a summer's worth, we can work with that.
Councillor Valescu.
Thank you. And I'm just curious from Mr. Mifsud's perspective at just the whole process. I support this, but I just want to know what, as far as this process goes, if there's any comment either way about the allocation of funding and how this is put together.
Through the Chair, this is certainly a very positive initiative which clearly has benefits. In terms of normal procedure, putting forward a funding solution when we don't have a business case behind it is not particularly good financial governance, I've got to say, but nonetheless, it's certainly, there's a lot of other aspirations that Council wants to pursue, and this is one of them. So there's no disputing that this is a very positive initiative, but normally these types of initiatives, rather than being looked at in isolation on an ad hoc basis, would actually be referred to a process subsequent to the budget being endorsed where they could be prioritised, and then you could consider en masse exactly what particular initiatives you wanted to focus on, whether this be this one or any other ones. So the process is out of kilter with what I would recommend as a sound financial prudent process.
Well, I suppose, Councillor Pryor, putting the motion up gives us an opportunity to prioritise as we see fit. Councillor Valeska, you've got more to go?
I just want to know why it's not coming to the StratCom, and then if it's actually not to do with strategy, whether it needs to go to the infrastructure, because we're actually looking at infrastructure.
I'll leave that to Councillor Pryor to answer in his reply. Did you have any more debate?
I think it's a good thing, but I've just about the whole process. I think we've got some evidence here that it is going to pay off, and if we're going to get more, almost half the money back on top of what we've, or almost all the money we're going to get paid back pretty much after the halfway point, if we look at it. So you're looking at maybe 8 years, something like that. It's good, but I guess I'm not that comfortable with the process. I think we probably, with this sort of stuff, especially as it is $600,000, we're pretty much going to put it into the budget. And I think we need to be aware of it, because, I just think we need to be very careful how we put the money in and how we allocate it. So I will support it, but I do ask members maybe to get a bit more background and try to get this through a better process if we can in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. I support the motion in principle, but I am 100% aligned with what Mr. Mifsud has just said, because we have a number of items that we're aware of that are moving forward. Some of them unfunded, others are special. Streetscaping is one that I can think of straight away. And I just wonder whether there's a means of just keeping these two motions separate. The second section involving the actual allocation of budget surely should follow in the overall assessment of priorities at that capital expenditure budgeting time. That was my main concern.
It sounds like a point to be made with a subsequent motion, not the one before us.
Councillor Hull, have you not spoken?
Two questions. So, Councillor Hull, to speak.
I also would like the council to consider this, that in the reports coming back to us, there should be information about the type of solar panels we're going to be using, whether they've got inverters on them, micro-inverters, or whether we're going to have two micro-inverter to every two panels and all that. I'd like to see that detail, because there's efficiencies with that, because if one, with a standard panel, if one gets blacked out, then the whole lot goes down, and we don't want that. That's not going to be efficient. But the other part of technology is that the introduction of really efficient batteries is something that really should attract the attention of this council as well. It's one thing to capture the energy and it goes off into the grid during the day. It's another thing for these light globes to be powered by the very same power we capture during the day. And I think we need to keep an eye on that. City of Adelaide's already promoting that with businesses in there. So this is not a right, left field sort of thing to come out with. Because if we actually capture the energy, we get a better dividend from our investment as well. That instead of just getting the return, and that's an advantage in a way in option A, because if the panels are on the building, they can feed into the batteries within the building. And that creates a little bit of independence. And even in this building, which is prone to a lot of blackouts, we could actually put ourselves in a position where we actually have the ability for us to actually rely on battery backup for a period of time until the power comes back on. So there's inherent benefits with battery technology. And in fact, I'd like to know more about that just briefly from our consultant as to, a forecast in terms of how quickly the technology I'm talking about should be part of our broader considerations.
Yes.
Excuse me. Thanks for the question. It's and my reply through you, through the chair. Battery technology has come along enormously in recent years. As part of the work that we do, we're very interested in analysing the role the batteries may play
in a customer meeting their needs. And I'll be honest with you, I think prices are roughly would need to halve for batteries to be cost effective. One of the observations I would make about matching solar to commercial properties is that the need for batteries is really quite small. So the sizing that I put in this report is based on really, for option A, 85% of all of the solar produced is used on site with the consumption patterns that you have at the buildings that I looked at. If that was a residential case, it would be, I would struggle to get 50% in most situations, and that's just the way the buildings are used. Solar is a very good match for commercial uses. And you'll find that the load profiles that I've looked at for the council properties, it is a very good match. There is very little left over for which I would think the idea of capturing that energy is cost effective at the moment. However, you touched on, I think, the sweet spot where batteries are appropriate, and that's when you've got reliability issues. Because it's not a cheap way of providing energy, but it's a pretty effective way of providing reliability. But it will occur at a cost. If you're prepared to pay for additional reliability, batteries are probably your answer. But I think if it's about the long run, most effective way of meeting your energy needs over, I would say, a 5 or 10 year window, I don't think batteries are part of that at the moment. And like I said, even if their prices halve over that period, which they probably will, because that would follow the same sort of curve as solar panels, that's when it's going to start to happen. And Councillor Hull, you've got some time left.
Thank you. Councillor Crossland had a question.
Yeah, sorry, while we've got our solar expert here, one of the questions I have is we can see the financial benefits for our 9-to-5 buildings, I'll call them. The other buildings that we'd be looking at with huge roof spaces are our sports complexes. Unfortunately, they're usually empty during the day, but they use quite a lot of power at night time with floodlights and the bar and everything else. Where are we with current technology to make solar on those facilities viable?
Thanks for the question. And unfortunately, I'd have to say I think we're a long way off. This is an issue that keeps coming up. I do quite a bit of work on Kangaroo Island, and there's a project there that we're working on at the moment, and I can't make it stack up. The loads and the need for power and the times when solar generates just don't line up. And we're looking at batteries, we're looking at all sorts to try and bridge that gap, and it really just doesn't line up. So my advice is, they've got to start doing more stuff during the day. This idea of sport at night just doesn't work with solar. Sorry.
One final question. So on those types of properties, as they're council-owned assets and they're all part of the council electricity bill, are they viable just to offset council's electricity costs in other buildings or general bill?
Are you referring to being able to generate on one side and then credit it against others? Yeah, that is, and there's one of the options that we've canvassed in the report. It's not a particularly effective approach at the moment. It relies on having appropriate metering at all of the sites. So to go, a lot of the smaller sites, which would have the roof space and not much consumption, would need to have their metering upgraded to be able to be netted off. It then relies on your retailer, the energy retailer that you're contracted to, doing that work for you, and they will do that at a price. And you're still paying the cost of transporting that energy across the grid to be then used again. In those circumstances, again, we find it very hard to make those numbers stack up. And again, it's the challenge of trying to transport this power across the grid. It attracts so many other costs in doing so. It makes it quite unviable, which is why I guess in the report we've favoured that option A, because really it's about selecting a size that best matches what you're using, and that is your most efficient and most effective way. That if we go bigger, what you find is that more gets spilled to the grid, it's of less value, and you get these sort of diminishing returns. You should go larger. I've aimed for what I think is as far as you can go without then, really, you add a bit more, most of it's going to go to the grid, and that's the way that we try and size. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there that will be prepared to sell you more and bigger systems, but I would argue that they're not going to be that cost effective for you.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Vlieska, you've had a fair go. You've got another question, have you? All right, go on.
I'm just wondering, some companies will come along and make the capital expenditure for you and provide you with the solar infrastructure. What's your general view of that as far as effectiveness?
Yeah, another great question. Thank you. This that approach is the power purchase agreement approach that we've talked about in the report. Our experience with that, I conducted a secret shopper, I guess it is, on available power purchase agreements and leases for some work we're doing with the New South Wales government. And what that showed is that it's very, very hard. They will, to actually make the long run numbers stack up. And it relies on you being able to use almost all of the power that's produced. So in most residential settings, as I said, half of the power on your average system will be lost to the grid. Those customers will pay that agreed contract price whether they're using that power or whether they're selling it to the grid for 6 cents. So you might buy it from your power purchase agreement provider out of the solar panels on your roof for 20 cents, but you're not home to use it. You get 6 cents for it, you've made a loss, and you're committed to that loss of 14 cents. They're not good products for customers in a residential setting. They can work better in a commercial setting, following on from what I've said before, because you've got that better match for the... Because you pay for everything those panels produce at that fixed price that you agree for 20-odd years, whether you use it or not. And that's the big risk. And there are a lot of... There are transaction costs which tend to push it up. I am yet to find one that I think is a good product for a customer. I'll keep looking, but I haven't found one yet. And I'm not going to recommend it to you because I like it.
Okay, Councillor Telfer.
So the days of any possible support from federal or state government and RECs and so on are all completely gone?
No, the renewable energy target and the renewable energy certificates are still available, and they are, since the end date for the legislation is 2030, and for small systems, the systems below 100 kilowatts, where you can deem those certificates up front and take it as a reduction in capital, which is restricted to those smaller systems, that deeming period has always been 15 years. But ever since last year, there's only 15 years left. So this year, 2016, it's only 14 years. And so there is a slowly diminishing return. But we've factored the value of certificates into the estimates that we've provided and taken them as a reduction in capital costs under option A. So that's still available. Other than that, it's all getting pretty mainstream and there is not a lot of specific support available other than, you know, some particular industry-specific or program-specific funding. But general funding for solar is diminishing.
If I could interrupt with a question before coming back to Councillor Telfer. I note that through State Parliament there has been legislation just passed, I'm not sure, but I think it's a building upgrade legislation, assisting with finance for upgrades to assist with environmental aspirations for buildings. Now, it covers commercial buildings. I'm not sure if it covers council buildings. Can you shed any light on that, Mr. Nance?
Thanks for the question. Not necessarily my area of expertise. My understanding of the premise there is it's the role of councils and their ability to recover the debt that might hang on a building is the basis or the premise of the building upgrade finance program. So the idea is that you're able to access lower cost finance because if you default on your repayments, the money that has been loaned to you will be recovered in the same way that council would be able to recover its or any other monies owing to council. So it's that, and I can't remember the exact term, but that the first grab is there. And so in effect all it does is... It significantly de-risks a project and reduces the cost of capital available to doing it. I don't think that in your context that would offer much at all, in that you are already able to essentially de-risk it as it's your own properties and you can recover money from yourself.
I see. Councillor Telfer, anything else? Well then, Councillor Pryor, to close the debate.
Yeah, we went around the world there. That's good. Just in closing, the first part, the dump is absolutely on the radar. It's not involved in this motion, but it's absolutely on the radar. And in response to Councillor Appleby, the subsidy for feeding, like the subsidy on the tariff, government tariff, I think Mr. Nance can confirm it, dropped off 2.5 years ago. He's nodding, so that's yes. So there hasn't been a noticeable decline in the take-up of solar in that time. So apparently there's actually something in it rather than it just being a government subsidy. The reason I don't want to, or I'd rather not put this to the Infrastructure Committee before moving this motion is because I would like to make a statement about the intent of this council to implement a solar array. When the business report comes back, it'll obviously go to either the Strat or the Infrastructure Committee, whichever we deem worthy. So in closing, I think we should all support the first part, and I'll talk about the next part afterwards.
Right, just to refresh a member's memories, that we are dealing with paragraphs 1 and 2 there, noting the report that seems uncontroversial, and approving option A for further detailed business case analysis. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried by a majority. Now, Councillor Pryor, you wanted to move a further motion. Over to you.
Absolutely. Like I said before, this part of the motion is about our intent. We've discussed our intent for almost 18 months now. It's very clear to me, and I'm confident that we'll get the support for this. I do recognise that it's a little unconventional through Mr. Mifsud, but the intent still remains. And we also have the ability to refine this in the coming months before the budget, should we so desire. I guess there's not much more to say to it. $600,000 was the figure out of the report which Mr. Nance put forward. We actually have a couple of buildings in the Cove Civic Centre and the depot, which I note were not included in the report. And I guess we would actually like to put some solar cells on those buildings. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I think we're going to easily cover the 600K. And should we come across a leasing option that's better, this says up to 600K, and we would obviously be looking to scale that back if we go with a leasing option. So thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, did you wish to speak?
Lee, look, I get some comfort out of Mr. Mifsud's intervention with this, but that needs to be coupled with our intent that Councillor Pryor mentions. So many times I've heard so many things, so many aspirations here that have never eventuated because it hasn't been resourced. This is if this motion gets up, it's resourced. It can evolve as we go along in terms of funding strategies, what options that we're actually going to look at, the options within the options, that is. And it actually signals to the community and interested parties that we're really serious about this. We're not going into it half-hearted. We're actually putting some money behind our hopes and aspirations. We can back it up. It's not a fanciful venture. Now, when I first was elected back in the day, the Port Adelaide Council went on a venture with a flower farm. Now, most people would say what, even at the suggestion of it. But they went ahead with it and they spent a lot more than that on their flower farm, only to find the flowers wilted and died. The ratepayers of the city lost a lot of money. This is nothing like that. This is a more considered approach with a possible realised dividend at the end of it. It actually does a number of things. It actually backs up our biophilic aspirations. This is walking the talk, big time. And it actually is going to create a situation where the efficiencies that can be gained, even without batteries, the irony is that something tells me, but by the time we actually do reach the absolute negative payback period, the battery technology may have kicked in and we can actually value add this again. Something tells me that. I'm an absolute optimist when it comes to technology. It'll either condemn us or have us prevail. I hope prevail. And I really think that even with the 65% take-up, you know, that makes a lot of sense, that people are beavering away using the energy during the day when we're actually capturing it, where you wouldn't be at home, you'd be off at work, and you're not going to get the same efficiencies or benefit in the home setting, and that does make a lot of sense. So, look, I really think we need to give this a go. I'm probably more curious now and more hopeful of the opportunities that this might bring, because we should be, Mr. Skull, we need to be looking at partnering with this as well. Looking, particularly when we're throwing the money up front, it signals we're serious about this, and we should be able to attract the utmost of partnering from private, government or other sources.
Any member speaking against the motion? Councillor Telfer.
I'd like to move an amendment.
Thank you. It's always appreciated when members, if they have an amendment, have it in writing to present to staff. It makes life easier, so appreciate that, Councillor Telfer. You may wish to commence speaking while that's being written up.
I'm passionate about solar and passionate about solar cells. I have already heard in this chamber tonight two people that are concerned about process. So mine is not about being against the project, it's about process. That is all I've got in there, is that that we commend this project to be considered for prioritisation. And I think that that is appropriate because we are so committed that I'm sure it will get in.
Point of order.
Point of order, Councillor Hull.
The proposal of not spending the money and spending the money is a direct opposite.
No, this is not about...
Well, order, order. There won't be debate about it. Let me consider the matter. I uphold the point of order. We're either deciding to spend the money at this meeting or we're not. And if we're not, then it could be considered later, subsequently, as Councillor Telfer or anyone else wishes. So I do hold it's a direct opposite, and I'm sorry, Councillor Telfer, I uphold the point of order and declare the amendment out of order. You still have the right to continue speaking as you wish.
As passionate as I am about community energy and as passionate as I am about solar cells and the implementation of solar cells, I believe we as a council have to start, and I've said this before 3 months ago, to believe that we don't have a finite bag of money, that we do have to prioritise what we're going to put in and leave out. We've already had two speakers this evening that have mentioned this fact. And I believe that we do have to say, hey, when this comes up to budget, we will, in good faith, see where it sits beside our day-to-day work, our committed service delivery, our emphasis on all the other projects that we want to fit in. So I'm forced, even though I love solar cells, to vote against the motion, and that's very sad.
Look, I'd like to first of all foreshadow a possible amendment that Council provisionally allocates up to $100,000 in the budget by that time, pending the outcome of the report. I can understand that this is that something?
Councillor Valescu, I think it would be really helpful to all of us to get some staff advice on just whether that is meaningful to staff. So, Mr. Mifsud, how would you interpret a motion that said that there would be a provisional allowance of funds.
Through the chair, it's sort of it makes it very grey. You either are going to refer it, as Councillor Telfer has suggested, or you're going to endorse it, would be my advice.
It sounds like you can't be provisionally pregnant. You either are or you aren't.
Okay. So, can I clarify what my intent was with that?
By all means, please explain. Basically, but it's probably not going to be a good amendment, that's all.
Yep. I think once we get the report, we decide whether to spend the money. That's what I thought would be the way to go. So it wouldn't be part of the budgetary process, but we would have a report that provides that evidence. So would it? So would that then be a ultra-virus amendment?
No. I would rule the amendment out of order, not that you've moved it yet, but really what you're doing is speaking against the motion, and you're providing reasons why, and you're saying that you might want to come back and support a similar measure after receiving other information, prioritisation, etc. So that's how I interpret your intent.
Look, I think we can't ask for a report and then say we're going to spend the money first. I think we need to have that report and spend the money. I'm happy for this to not be part of the prioritisation process if it's part of the report at least. I'd be happy to support it then, but I can't just support it. It just makes us look silly by saying, look, we'll have a report on it, but we're going to spend the money. I think we need to have the report and then spend the money. And it's not as if it's like $20,000, $30,000. It's a significant amount of money. We need to go through that process, because then that way it won't damage the integrity of other decisions we make, and I think that's important. And we have made a few decisions of late where we have spent a fair bit of money and there hasn't been some of that analysis, and I think it's very important to do that. I think there's a broad support for this, but let's get the process right, because if we don't, it's going to cause problems here and in other items later on. So reluctantly, I won't be supporting the motion in this format. I'm happy to support it either in the prioritisation process or at least when we get the report in May.
Westwood.
Yes, I think that just about everyone here is convinced that we should go in this direction, and I certainly agree with that. I think the report that we're probably asking for, or that we're asking for, is more of the details, and we want to monitor and determine detail rather than the actual principle. So I think this is more the principle that we're dealing with now, and I have no hesitation in supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, I was waiting to see if anyone was speaking against, because I'm speaking for as well. I think this is different to some of the other decisions we've made. We've got an expert here that's already done a report. We know that the solar will eventually lead to actual financial gains to council. I just think that this is the time to, you've read the report, we've made already the decision we're going to move forward. We, as was mentioned before, this has been to Stratcom. It came from Stratcom, so I don't know why it would ever go back there. We've gone through every other situation we needed to consider, except Mr. Misford is saying this is slightly out of kilter, but this is giving him a heads up that we are committed, we are going to invest this money. We're not exactly sure how much money. It's going to be around 600,000, it might be less, but let's put it in the budget and let's prepare for it. There is going to be a report come back to say, hey guys, this is what it's going to cost and these are the benefits. So there's still a whole point that will come up. So I'd like everyone to consider that, and I'll be supporting the motion.
Any other speakers? Then I'll ask Councillor Pryor to reply.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Crossland, for stealing pretty much the entirety of my closing remarks. I've got one question for Mr. Mifsud, and that is about this being a little odd in the financial process. How many other of our budgeted items show some sort of return after 10 years?
Through the chair, it's a very good question. I don't have the answer for that off the top of my head, but I'm more than happy to look into that for you if you'd like me to.
Would you say that it was a little odd that one of our budgetary considerations would return money after 10 years?
Not necessarily. Certainly, I think the general vein of the discussions that's been held by the members tonight is that there's generally very strong support for this initiative. I don't actually think that's in question. It's more the process and due process and just providing you with the support and guidance in terms of good governance.
Just to clarify, I think Councillor Pryor's very last question was about how many budgetary items actually lead, if passed, actually lead to council getting a positive financial return, as opposed to the bulk of things where we spend money maybe on an asset, repairing it or building it, and it's there, but it's not a financial return to council.
Through the chair, the reality is that would be uncommon, without question, and I would say probably more closer to rare than common.
And since we're in that vein, I'd also like to ask, how many budget items, especially those where we're allocating at least $500,000, say, would have reports of the level of detail of Mr. Nance's prior to being presented for adoption?
Certainly historically, through the chair, most reports would have all the analytics and the business case supporting them before they would come through to council, and it would be an exception that they do not.
Okay. Councillor Pryor, please continue.
Okay, I'll close. Look, I back up everything that Councillor Crossland said, in that this has been, well, it's been to Stratcom. I think we talked about it in three of the four last meetings we had with Stratcom. We do have a wide range of support here. I'm confident that the members support this initiative. The process is the only sticking point. But as we've just established, that having a return is a little odd. It's not a common thing for us to have. With that in mind, I would encourage everyone to support this motion and demonstrate our intent to the community.
Very well. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hand. All those against the motion, raise your hand. I see that the vote is 6-all. Vote is tied. It comes to the Mayor to cast a vote. In my view, Mr. Nance's report demonstrates sufficiently that it's financially sound as well as environmentally beneficial for us to proceed. So I am very happy to lock in the amount that Councillor Pryor's put forward in the next budget to get some runs on the board next year, next financial year. So my vote is cast in the affirmative, and the motion is carried. Division is called by Councillor Appleby. I'd ask those who are voting, those who... You can call a division on any vote, experience shows that the numbers don't always work out the same. So there may not be a casting vote this time around. I'd ask those that those who are willing to support the motion to stand in their place, please. Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, and Crossland. I therefore, and those against are Councillors Telfer, Byram, Valescu, Appleby, and Gard. I declare the motion carried.